The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, we're going to go over all about how you can grow mushrooms in your home and on your property, as well as spring seed saving techniques. Our guest will be Wendy Silverera, and we'll answer your garden questions. The hour's jam-packed. It all starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, keep your grass looking green, and preserving what you grow. We thank you for allowing us to be part of your world for the next hour, whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 radio stations in the U.S. that's broadcasting our program here in 2021, whether you're listening through our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, under the Season 5 tab at the top of the page, podcast replay, in-studio video replay, radio app. Thank you so much. If you want to be part of the program, you can do that by sending us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us directly, you can do that. 1-800-927-SHOW. Toll free, coast to coast. That's 1-800-927-7469. If we can't get to you, please leave a message and we will call you back with a solution to the situation that you're facing. Well, Holly, growing mushrooms, many people may find or think it's a challenge, but growing mushrooms can be very easy to do. And this segment is sponsored by NorthSport.com.
NorthSport is your source for edible mushroom spawn, supplies, and educational resources so you can grow your own mushrooms. First-time grower or commercial mushroom farm, NorthSport is here for you. NorthSport produces all of the spawn used at its facility. They make sawdust plug and grain spawn and spray and grow kits. NorthSport strives to be a community hub for fungi enthusiasts, a place where people learn to love mushrooms. Check them out at NorthSport.com. That's NorthSport.com. You can use the code GROW21 in all caps to get 10% off your order. Again, NorthSport.com, GROW21 coupon code. So gardening with mushrooms, there are many benefits and, yes, and why you should.
Many people may think you have to have this dark, shady, musty, wet area in order to grow mushrooms, but that simply is kind of some degree of falsehood. You can grow them along your vegetables. You can grow them in partial shady areas or somewhat shady areas where other crops may not grow as well.
Right. So there's some benefits to that. You can utilize those shady, underused parts of your garden. Maybe you have a corner that you're like, I wish I could use this for something, but I can't. You can grow mushrooms there typically. And it's nice because they are a high-protein food source. I know a lot of vegetarians and vegans do use mushrooms for like mushroom burgers or meat replacement, mushroom steak, etc. So it is a high-protein food source. And it does help decompose organic matter and add nutrients to the soil.
And how can we choose, how can we get started? Choosing a reliable species and a simple method is not as confusing as one may think.
Yeah, so NorthSport really wants to provide, you know, the best for their beginners. And wine cap and oyster mushrooms are great for beginners. They are resilient, they're adaptable, and they can tolerate a wide range of conditions. And you can use mushroom spawn, which is essentially the seeds of the mushroom. They're easy to find substrates, and you can mulch your garden paths, vegetable beds, and around perennials. So you can use them around the plants you already have.
Now, I don't want people to think, they're only talking about growing mushrooms outdoors. I can't grow them because I don't have an outdoor area to grow them in. NorthSport's got that covered. Don't worry about it. They've got indoor growing kits, the spray and grow kits, advanced indoor growing kits. They've got the outdoor logs, the spawn, grain spawn, sawdust spawn, plug spawn. But I want to briefly touch on the indoor growing kits. They've got lion's mane, blue oyster, pink oyster, golden oyster, mushrooms, and it's just really easy. You keep them moist, and Very simple to do. There's a videos on their website. And within 2 weeks, you'll begin to see the mushrooms ping. And then that's the baby mushrooms. And you keep spraying and according to the instructions. And you'll be harvesting mushrooms within a few days.
The advanced indoor kits that you can get would include shiitake, reishi, king trumpets, chestnut mushrooms, namiko, or piopino. So that's definitely an option, is the indoor kits. So the substrate is what you grow the mushrooms in.
That's the soil, basically. I mean, in gardening world, the substrate is the soil medium.
Yep. So you use anything from hardwood chips, sawdust, straw, agriculture byproducts, such as like if you had access to rice or bean hulls, corn stalks. But the biggest thing most people grow in is the wood chips or the sawdust. So wine cap mushrooms, you don't typically find those in the grocery store?
I mean, and here's the thing. If you find mushrooms in the store, I mean, we all know the traditional button mushroom. Very familiar. They're not that appealing. They do what they need to do. And if you go to a specialty grocery store, you may find some of these higher end. I would classify them to some people may think they're higher end. They're very expensive. So growing your own is a money saver, and the comparison that if you bought store-bought and you grow your own, there is no comparison from eating a freshly grown, cut it, eat it right away mushroom compared to a store-bought one that may have been harvested a few hours or days ago.
Right. So, yeah, so that's the freshness of the mushrooms. So a lot of people will grow them in the wood chips and the sawdust,
yeah.
And the wine caps do grow quite large, so something to keep in mind.
Well, people may be wondering, what is a wine cap mushroom? You know, I want to grow mushrooms, but I kind of want to know what they taste like. Well, wine caps have a taste of artichoke or an asparagus taste, which is not that, you know, I think that tastes pretty good. And they can grow as large as a dinner plate, and they can tolerate a bit of sun exposure, more than other species of mushrooms can.
Right. So they are more ideal for, I guess, everyone. You have that option as well. So the other mushroom you mentioned was the oyster ones, and those can be grown not just in the kits indoors, but outside.
Right.
And they are brightly colored typically, and they're adaptable, so they can adapt to different temperatures and different substrates. And they are more meatier in texture and flavor, so it's more like a button mushroom. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, like those, and those are the white mushrooms that you find in the grocery store.
Now, I think we should make mention that when you create this substrate, this medium for these mushrooms to grow in, you may have other mushrooms grow in that substrate that you didn't plant there. Now, what needs to be known is you should not eat those mushrooms that are grown naturally. Only eat the ones that you are specifically growing for human consumption, because we know those are safe. I think that needs to be said.
Right, and that's definitely very important. The neat thing about mushrooms is that depending on the variety, you can grow in basically all types of climates. There's ones for warmer climates and one for cooler climates, so that's an option too. You would have to, you know, definitely look at the website at northspore.com. And you can kind of use, you know, grow them within your mulch. So what you would do is you would, you know, set the spawn about 3 to 5 inches deep into the soil, and then you would layer the mulch on top, and then you would have these mushrooms that would grow.
Yeah, you got to keep them moist. That's part of the growing process. So that is also important to note, that, you know, natural rain occurs, but many times we have to additionally add water in order to get these things to grow the way they're intended to grow.
And I think a lot of times people, you know, set out to grow things like mushrooms or something new, and then maybe they don't find it as successful as they thought it was, or, you know, they definitely fall in love with it. But northspore.com has different videos and all sorts of guides available.
Resources
so that you can find that success.
Yeah, they've got a frequently asked question on their tab, Mushrooms 101, Spawn, a frequently asked question, Indoor Grow Kit, frequently asked questions, and so on and so on. So if you've got the question, they've got the answer, because they're wanting this to be as simple and successful as you possibly can, that they can possibly make it for you. And, you know, many people think that, you know, growing mushrooms, again, I mentioned that, is a difficult or that's not my thing. But you can do it and do it very successfully and impress your friends and your family by growing mushrooms, whether in your garden, outdoors, or indoors with the grow kits.
Right. And we've grown with other grow kits, and we had success with them. So if it's something that maybe you just want to, like, dip your toes in, you could definitely get one of those grow kits and grow them in your home and enjoy those mushrooms there. You probably wouldn't want to grow wine cap mushrooms, as they do get quite large. I don't think they have an indoor grow kit for that. But the oyster mushrooms are definitely available.
Right. And very affordable, too. So the website is northspore.com, and you use GROW21 in all caps to save 10% on your order, as many times you want to order, as big as the order is or as small as the order is. But it's something that we are seriously going to look into and exercise our available time with doing, especially if you can just grow them indoors in a controlled climate. That's the, you know, I think that's the thing. If you're looking, hey, I want to try growing mushrooms, get a kit, do it inside, understand the procedure. And then the benefit to the kits is whenever the kit is finished indoors, give it a round two outside. You can, there's instructions on how to utilize it and break it apart and put it outside, and you can get more mushrooms out of that kit the second time around outdoors once you've grown them indoors.
Right. So again, that's northspore.com, code GROW21.
So if mushrooms are your thing, but also you want to know where your meat, you want spices and seasonings to go with your mushrooms and your kit and your dishes, Walton's Incorporated has all of that and more.
Yeah, Walton's Incorporated has everything that you need to use with your meat and also your vegetables for seasoning. But they also have a lot of equipment and seasoning supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com. It's an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers. You can find all that information to go from animal to edible at waltonsinc.com. And again, meatgistics.com is to help educate people on how the hows and whys of meat processing as well.
And when we come back, it's going to be all about seed saving in the spring. Yeah, you can do that. We'll go over how. You're listening to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
We here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show Gardens understand that healthy soil is the key to a successful garden. We know that chemical fertilizer burns carbon out of the soil and kills the microbes needed for a healthy soil ecosystem. No worries. Chicken Soup for the Soil by Dr. Jims will stimulate life into your soil, supplying all the nutrients most fertilizers neglect. Rather than force-feeding water-soluble chemical fertilizer, we suggest feeding the microbes a smorgasbord of 100% biodegradable nutrients that your plants can consume when they need them. The nutrients are readily available to maximize their genetic potential. Chicken Soup for the Soil will increase the quality of the fruit and vegetables you grow. Visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com.
Have essential oils always confused you like they did me? Take out some of the guesswork with Simply Earth. The Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box will help you gain confidence and clarity in using essential oils to help make your home toxin-free. Here's how it works. You receive the recipe box with 4 pure essential oils, 6 recipe cards, and extras. Then you learn how to use your essential oils while making the recipes created by certified aromatherapists. Clear and concise step-by-step directions. Save money and detoxify your life. I got to make fun products that will detoxify my home while also learning safe ways to use my essential oils. The best part is these oils don't break my budget. Simply Earth's essential oils are 100% pure and come from the best farms from all over the world. Using essential oils to support your wellness doesn't have to be overwhelming. My home is one step closer to being toxin-free because I made the wax melts and more with the Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box. Visit simplyearth.com to find your recipe box and more.
CousinsCompost.com offers a full range of compost and vermicomposting supplies, including the new Royal All-Natural Worm Bedding. Shop Cousins Compost for composting worms, worm castings, indoor and outdoor worm bins, and compost bins. Use coupon code REDWORM21 for 10% off your order at CousinsCompost.com. We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting bloomineasyplants.com.
Wild Delight has a complete line of premium food and treats for wild birds and other wildlife. It contains the finest ingredients you can feed your outdoor pets. Fill your bird feeders with a selection of Wild Delight's premium quality mixes to have a yard full of colorful birds. Wild Delight is filled with nuts and berries your birds will love and contains no filler ingredients such as cracked corn or Milo. Feed the birds the nutrition they need. This keeps your feathered friends coming back year after year. Find out more at wilddelight.com.
Now that your garden is in place, help your plants grow with Chapin's sprayers. Use our hose-in and handheld sprayers to feed your plants and control pests. Set up a fertilizer injector to water and feed at the same time. Cover large areas with a backpack or ATV sprayer. Chapin equipment is available at all major home improvement and hardware stores and online at www.chapinmfg.com. Chapin, cover more ground. Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Good bugs to eat bad bugs. RinconVitova.com. Call or email today. 1-800-248-BUGS. The Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, SeedLink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show. Though it may be wet in some portions of the country because of some local regional rain, that doesn't mean the drought has dissipated, especially in Utah. 91% of the state is under a drought or severe drought. And Tree Diaper has a device in which can help the plants that you're growing stay hydrated.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain when you water and slowly release water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. You water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. It also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. You can find all the sizes that they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
So seed saving, you may think, is a fall activity or late summer activity, but you can save seeds on some plants that you planted this year in the garden, and if you have some plants that came back from last year, you can certainly save the seeds on those, and we'll go over what all that means here. So the ones that you planted this year that may be going to seed now because the days are longer, the heat is on, is leaf lettuce and romaine lettuce.
Right. So the reason why these plants go to seed is because of the longer daylight temperatures. And so the plants kind of get that, it's going to get too hot for me. I'm going to bolt, which is when they put out the seed pods. so that I can survive, essentially. So lettuce and radishes are two, or lettuce for sure is two of those, and even radishes as well. So you'll know when you have your lettuce bolt because it gets like this, I don't know.
It goes vertical about 3-4 feet in the air.
And it looks like little, I don't know, shoots coming out of it, essentially. And then you get the lettuce seeds.
Now, there's green romaine lettuce, and there is red romaine or burgundy romaine. We'll talk about romaine here, and then we'll talk about leaf lettuce. We have found that if you're able to grow, and both of these can be planted later in the fall, too, from seed, or if you're in some portions of the country that plant starts are available in the fall, we find that the red romaine, burgundy romaine, actually doesn't go to bolt as quickly as the green romaine. And when it does go to bolt, you try to eat it, it becomes extremely bitter and it's almost you can't palate it. It's horrible.
Right.
So what you can do is if you harvest the leaves, this takes a little extra work, but you can still have a salad. You harvest the leaves and you flip it upside down, each leaf, and you see that central vein. Simply cut that vein out and leave the leaf portion alone. You're going to have two leaves now instead of one because you've cut it in half. Get rid of that central vein. That's where the bitterness is housed at. And you can eat the leaf and there's no bitterness in the green leaf. That's in the stem or in that vein there. Also, now leaf lettuce will go to seed as well. And you can save the seeds on that. Radishes going to seed, if you still have some in the ground going to bolt, leave them be. You can save the seeds on them. They'll get little green pods on them that looks like tiny pea pods. In the green state, those are edible. They still contain a little bit of heat, but it's just as if you were eating the bulb. Our nephew and our niece enjoy eating those radish pods. And if left alone another month or so, they will turn brown and get very dry. And they'll contain about 5 to 7 seeds per pod. In some gardens that we have, we've let them go. They fall on the ground. And in the front yard garden at the house, they reseed every year. So we have about 30 or 40 radishes that come up every year that we do nothing to do. And we do nothing. And they come up and we get to harvest them for volunteers.
Right. And, yeah, that's something that the kids definitely enjoy.
And you can pickle the pods, but not, like, traditional pickling. You can do a refrigerator pickle. That's
right.
The safe way.
Or you could just put them in, like, stir fry right. Or something. There's a lot of delicious things you can do with them. So that is a radish. Now, the leeks and onions that were left from last year. So onions and leeks are biennials, which means that the first year they grow their vegetable or the root, whatever. And then the next year they want to put their seed on.
If you leave it alone and don't touch it.
Yeah. Right. If you leave it alone, don't touch it. So then you get these, you get this nice, cool looking, fluffy, spherical flower. And then it almost looks like a dandelion
puffy head
thing, but like not as puffy.
Bees then, love them.
Yeah. Bees do love them and they're pretty. And then that's where you get those seeds.
About, I don't know, I've never counted, but several hundred, if not thousand seeds
lot,
in this.
Lot.
About the size of a baseball flower on top of these. Stalks of leeks and onions. And when you save them, identify them. You want to let them dry them on the vine or on the plant as long as possible outside. You can squeeze the flower, and if the black seeds come out, that's a pretty good indication that you're ready to go. Then you can put it in a paper sack and then let them dry further indoors. Label them. Do not put them in a paper or a plastic sack because a plastic sack will turn them to ook and slime, and you got no seeds. But label, because they both come from the same family, and they both look identical until they're grown and almost mature. Kale is another biennial, similar to the leeks and onions. It'll come back the second year if untouched, and it will produce seeds as well.
Right. So you can, the kale does bolt as well. It gets these shoots that come out of it, kind of like the lettuce.
And if you do that with the kale and you catch it right before it actually goes to seed, you get the flower portion of it. It's not bad tasting. You can eat the flowers of the kale before it goes to seed. Now you don't get
you
the seeds.
You think everything is not bad tasting.
Okay.
So
You like baby beet greens. You didn't think you'd like those.
Yeah, that's true. I did like those. Okay. Good point. So no, but the kale does put the shoots out, and it's kind of similar to lettuce.
And these are a great way to, you know, you can go to the garden center, you can go to Seed Savers, you can go wherever and buy, you know, $2, $3, get a pack of seeds. But if you can physically just walk out to the backyard, put it in a paper sack, let them dry, and then you have 500, 600, 800 seeds, you don't have to buy any seeds. And studies have shown that the climatization of those seeds are more adapted to the area in which they're growing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the benefit of saving seeds is that they become adapted to your local ecosystem year after year. So if you keep planting those seeds, saving them, replanting them, and obviously something like the kale the lettuce or onions and leeks, you have to wait every other year. But
and you don't have to let a whole patch go. You can simply leave one onion or one leek in the ground. That's going to give you more than enough seeds for the coming year.
But as you do that, any seeds you save from your own garden and keep replanting them, they become more acclimated to your ecosystem, and then you have like this very specific seed, and you know, we could even maybe call it like the Baird something whatever tomato, right?
Right.
Like, this is our
tomato.
They
get adapted and they get their own kind of characteristics for the plant. Another one is carrots and parsnips. Again, if these were left in the ground last year, they will put a flower on. The parsnips will get 3 or 4 foot tall, and it will look like a pine tree, a pineapple tree, and it will, you know, you got to be careful and catch the seeds, otherwise you're going to have parsnips coming up all over the place, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. I guess. I'm not a big fan of parsnips, but yeah, you want to be aware of this, that once these seeds do start to, or the plants start to bolt and produce the stalks to become the seeds, then once at a certain point they can fall off the plant.
Yes.
And then you're going to have even more. So you want to be aware. So if your goal is to save seeds, you want to make sure you are watching the process.
Carrot seeds, they will produce a flower. Now, typically, and I want to get back to the onions, why they flower in the first year. Carrots will flower in the first year if they are extremely stressed, which doesn't necessarily mean those are the best seeds, because the plant is stressed. It's just trying to get the genetics out in the seed so when that parent plant dies, the seeds can reproduce and do its own thing. So that is what happens with carrots. If you see them flowering the first year, they've been extremely stressed, potentially extremely dry, and they think they're going to die, so they'll reproduce, put a flower on. Onions will produce the first year the flower 98.7% of the time if they are grown from onion bulblets or the what do we call it? Not the the onion starts.
Right, the sets.
The sets, not the onion starts are the big bundle of pencils. The onion sets are the little onions that you get in the netting at your garden center early in the year. The process that those onions have gone through is they were grown in the fall, harvested late fall, early winter, put in that bag, put it chilled in a refrigerator, basically, then brought to your garden center in the spring. You pick them up, you plant them, and that onion's going, I'm in its second year. I'm 2 years old. It's time for me to make seeds, even though it is realistically time frame, it's first year. But because of that cold cycle, being removed from the ground, chilled, put back in the ground, that's why those flowers occur on those onions. Doesn't mean the onion is not edible. What it means is the onion will not store very good because that stalk is going all the way through the bulb.
Right. And that is the process that the onions go through. And that is something to keep in mind, that when, you know, note for next year, if you are going to buy something from the garden center, you want to buy these sets, or not the sets, the starts.
We'll get it right.
Sets. It's a little confusing because, you know, they will sound like
starts and sets and everything. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But you want to get the ones that look like a pencil bundle.
That's what you want to start with. You want to get the starts, not the sets. Well, Holly, summer is in full swing now, and I don't think we're going to turn back. And those nasty Japanese beetles are already wreaking havoc not only on our garden, but many gardens across the country.
Yeah, if you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. It's derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria. Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. You just mix the powder with water and spray it on your plants. Once ingested, they target the pests, will stop feeding, and die. And since it's an organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only does Beetle Gone work, but what I like most about it is that it is safe to use around beneficial insects and butterflies and bees and ladybugs, and it has zero water toxicity. Beetle Gone from PhylumBioproducts.com. That's PhylumBioproducts.com bioproducts.com. When we come back, Wendy Silverella will be with us, author, and you're listening to The Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. Slugs, snails, cutworms are just a few of many reasons why your seedlings may be snapped off at ground level or the leaves being eaten. Most do this damage at night. There are beer and oil traps that you can make, or you can also purchase products like diatomaceous earth, a natural product that is put around the seedling's stem or on top of the ground where the seedling is soon to emerge. This will get into the bug system or on them and cause them to die. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. Rinse Kit, your hose on the go, pressurized water at your fingertips. Without pumping or battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink on your way out to the garden, beach, or anywhere. Spray it, wash it, rinse Kit. Tired of dealing with bugs but don't want to use harmful chemicals to repel them? Naturally Green, No More Bugs is all natural and plant-based. No more chemical bug repellent. Use it around your home and on you, indoors and out. DEET free and will not stain. Repels mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, flies, and more. No More Bugs is the answer to what is bugging you. Stop using harmful chemicals and use what is safe for you, your family, pets, and the environment. For more information, visit natgreenproducts.com. natgreenproducts.com. Do you know there's a real Tiger Torch? Visit TigerTorchLTD.com for more information. Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at MySoulBrew.com or find them on Facebook at MySoulBrew. If you could double the life of your raised bed boxes by sealing the wood with a clear non-toxic wood preservative, would you? Well, now you can with a clear penetrating product called Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's 100% non-toxic and easy to apply. Seal your untreated wood surfaces, even chicken coops, by spraying on Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's invisible, seals the wood from the inside out, and never wears off. Recommended by organic gardening experts, Internal Wood Stabilizer. Check it out at TimberProCoatingsUSA.com.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 Plant Guard and Special Blend Fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Seed Savers Exchange has been saving, preserving, and sharing heirloom seeds since 1975, and today continues to provide those seeds for gardeners just like you. They have over 600 varieties. Visit seedsavers.org to request a free catalog or to purchase seeds online for this year's growing season. That's seedsavers.org. Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Wendy Silvera be with us momentarily, but first, do you have problems with Japanese beetles? Well, Rescue has the product that can fix that situation for you.
Japanese beetle traps, when used properly, draw beetles away from your plants and trees. The trick is to hang them 30 feet from the plants you want to protect. That way, you lure the beetles away from the areas you want that they're causing damage, and that traps them. Rescue Japanese beetle traps are the only traps with a controlled release lure that lasts the entire beetle season. Their extra large bags is welded directly to the trap and stays put even when it's full of beetles. And the Rescue Japanese beetle trap is the only trap with a reusable bag that opens and closes at the bottom. So if beetle season is a bad one, you just open, empty, keep trapping the beetles with the same trap. Like all Rescue products, they're made in the USA. You go to rescue.com. That's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Wendy Silvera is a longtime gardener, garden coach, author, and more. Her book, Containers and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond, is full of great information. Welcome to the program, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Holly. Good of you both to have me here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day to join not only Holly and us, but all of our listeners across the country and enlighten all of us with some of your gardening knowledge.
That would be great. Thank you.
So you grow and raise beds, as we do. What are some very common mistakes to avoid for those who have not taken the raised bed garden plunge just yet?
Ah, Joey, the benefit of hindsight. Well, first thing, and there are more than these, but I have about four or five hot issues which I would really like to share with your listeners. The first one is I believe you should have your raised bed properly orientated, which means running it north to south. You sometimes see people as you walk around neighborhoods, it tends to be a little willy-nilly. Some run north to south, east to west, etc. But if you run them north to south, the entire bed will receive the maximum amount of sun. And that's certainly something to think about. I think people they're so excited about raised beds, they don't think about the theory behind it. So that's point number one. And then you come to possibly one of the most expensive aspects of soil mix. And people always moan about this, particularly on Facebook. I belong to a lot of gardening groups. And that is, you know, you really want to use the best possible soil mix. You don't want to just take dirt from your yard and use it in your raised bed. Ideally, you want your raised bed soil mix to be light, airy, what we call lofty. It's this wonderful word. Sounds like a mattress, but the raised bed soil mix should be lofty, full of air, very loose, allowing roots to move through it really easily. And if you're going to do that, it is on the expensive side. And you can use a really wonderful thing is to use Mel's Magic Mix. He's of Square Foot Gardening fame. Maybe we'll get to that later. And essentially, it's equal parts compost, peat, and perlite. And as I said, a bit on the pricey side, but so much better. If you can't go that route, there are alternatives, but that is the ideal. Then you want to consider the size of the bed. So let's look first of all at the width. You don't want to go wider than 4 foot because the idea is you can access the center from any point outside the bed. And assuming the bed's not running up against a wall, the average person should be able to reach the center of the bed. If you think you're not going to be able to, then reduce that width to, let's say, 3 foot. But don't go wider than that, because what's going to happen is the only way you're probably going to be able to access the center is you're going to have to climb into the bed. The minute you do that, you compact the soil. Your lovely, light, airy soil has then changed. And then a fourth factor is ensure that the raised bed is deep enough. And there are varying views on this. Personally, I always recommend, if people are able to go this route, to go 12 inches. That will accommodate most vegetables with the possible exception of asparagus. And but it will allow you to go really long carrots, for example. And remember, whatever depth of raised bed you go, you want to leave at least 2 inches at the top to accommodate your mulch, because that's really important, especially where I am, and we have to really conserve as much moisture as we can. And then a hardy annual, the fifth factor that I must just mention, is make sure that you protect your raised bed against any type of rodent like a mole, vole, or the bane of our existence here, gophers. Because as soon as you've got a raised bed, you create essentially a smorgasbord, and those gophers will come. And you don't ever want them coming up into your raised bed. So, you know, prevention is better than cure. What you do is when you've either got your kit of your raised bed or you've built one yourself, what you then do is you on the bottom of it, you attach what's called hardware cloth. Now, if ever there was a misnomer, hardware cloth is it, because it sounds like fabric. It is actually galvanized mesh with an aperture of either a quarter or half an inch. You would attach this very firmly to the base of the bed. And if you have any overlaps, depending on the size of your bed, make sure that you overlap the hardware cloth and you run a wire through it, because you don't ever want them somehow finding a weak point, which they will, and coming up into your raised bed. That would be the kiss of death. So that's pretty much what I would say to folks is, you know, go into the theory of it before you rush in. And just one magic tip, you know, start small. I think people get so excited and they want to have 4 raised beds because they see things on Facebook and it looks so easy. Start small with 1, and then if you like it, do another 1 or 2 the next season and so forth.
Definitely. So your recent book, Containers and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond, has great information. Why should our listeners check it out? And is there perhaps a handy or a unique tip in the book that would pique their interest?
Well, I think what Holly, thank you for that. What makes our book a little different to the raised bed books out there or the container books out there is that it's a book on both of them. Personally, I do raised bed gardening and I do containers. I think one can make a case for both of them. I think they complement each other. And so when we wrote the book, we actually came up with the concept of incorporating both. That's the first thing. And then secondly, it's not limited to just vegetables. I'm a great herb grower. I also grow some fruit and cut flowers. So we incorporated all 4 of those into the book. There are 50 quick reference growing guides in the book so that you can jumpstart your gardening with information at your fingertips. If you're into square foot gardening, I include plans for spring, summer, and fall gardening. And then last but not least, I'm a great baker and cook. And so I use a lot of my produce from the garden in recipes. So the book culminates in probably my favorite section, which is tried and tested recipes using produce from the garden.
Well, you brought up containers. For people who may have not got into gardening yet, we're just getting close to late portions of June, early July. That doesn't mean you can't start a garden. So with containers, how does one know or determine what size of a container they should use for a particular plant?
Great question, Joey, and that's quite a long story, so I know we don't have unlimited time. So with your permission, I'd refer people to either the book, in which I go into quite a lot of detail, and I also have just published a blog on it recently, in which I distinguish between cool season, warm season, fruit, herbs, and the ideal requirements for, you know, if you're in a container, how many plants you can get into a container. Because I think that's always the key question beginner gardeners want to know: how many can I put in? And I think they probably tend to plant them too closely. So I hope that the folks might, your listeners may go and look at the blog and see that. But as a rule of thumb, what I would say is the larger the pot, the better. That's what I've always done. And people will argue that, you know, you can grow something in a smaller pot than maybe what I said in the blog, and that may be true. But in order for the plant to really thrive, you want a pot that can fully accommodate the roots. So there's a difference between the plant does okay and the plant does really well. And you know, just to bear in mind that small pots dry out really quickly. So that's something also to be said for going for a larger pot.
Well, you enjoy square foot gardening. What is square foot gardening, and why do you prefer this method so much versus a lot of the other methods of gardening?
So square foot gardening, very close to my heart. It's a highly intensive method of raised bed gardening that basically allows you to leverage literally every square inch of your raised bed. If I think of pictures I see on gardening sites on Facebook and in different groups, people have, you know, masses of space between the plants. They don't do what's called interplanting. They don't plant closely. And I think, oh, they could get so much more in. Now, square foot gardening is a method of gardening devised by a guy called Mel Bartholomew, actually 40 years ago this year, in which your raised bed is divided into 12-inch squares. So if you have an 8-foot by 2-foot raised bed, that would give you 16 square foot or 16 squares. Then using Mel's magic mix, which I referenced earlier, which is this, you know, wonderful mixture of compost, peat, and perlite with this lofty soil, you then would follow the guidelines of a square foot gardening. It's all laid out for you. There are masses of tables on this. So, and it works the following way. The larger the plant, the more space it requires. So, for example, a tomato or a zucchini would require one square, a whole 12-inch square area, because you would actually divide your raised bed up into these squares. There are different ways of doing that. Herbs like parsley and chives, they're smaller, so they go closer. You would get four in a square. Onions, 9 in a square, and carrots, the smaller still, would you be able to get 16 into the square. We actually have a really handy-dandy little gadget in our store, which enables you – it's virtually a template for planting and for making square foot gardening work. It certainly is the most intensive way. I don't know if it's necessarily the best way for beginners, but it's a fabulous method.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate the information you've provided during our time together. Could you tell our listeners how to find all of your great information in your book?
Sure, Holly. Well, the book is available on Amazon and various other sites, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, etc. It's in Kindle on Amazon and also in grayscale and color. It's called Container and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond. In addition, I have a website, wendysgardenstore.com. And the blog is on that. That's where you'd find the blog, for example, on containers and what plants suit, you know, what size container per plant. We also, on the website, we have a storefront, specialized gardening tools like the one I referenced a moment ago, this fabulous square foot gardening gadget, down to literally everything, including even hammocks for growing, you know, cantaloupe and that type of thing. There are actually hammocks available. And then lastly, I have a Facebook group which is quite active called Container and Raised Bed Gardening. And people are doing really nice set of folks doing good stuff on the group.
Well, Wendy, again, your website again?
wendysgardenstore.com, and that's W-E-N-D-Y.
Well, Wendy, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered with us, not only I myself, but all of our listeners.
Well, Joey and Holly, thank you for having me. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you.
Thank you. And when we come back, it's all about your garden questions, our garden answers. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at piperandleaf.com.
We've been using a game-changing tool called SeedLinked to find and review our seeds this year. It makes finding the right seeds simple. It is driven by growers' data so you can really see what's best for your location. Check it out at seedlinked.com or download the mobile app today. The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com. Are you frustrated by how hard and dry your soil gets at this time of the year? You're not alone. The problem is that your soil has a high clay content. The clay shrinks and hardens as it dries, squeezing the air out of the soil. When soils are tight, roots are under stress and can no longer absorb water and nutrients easily. If you want to start improving your compacted clay soil, give Aerify Plus a try. For 20 years, homeowners and landscapers have been using Liquid Aerify Plus to aerate and bioactivate their soils. Aerify Plus contains a soil penetrant, as well as a liquid humates and seaweed. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Aerify Plus product. That's natureslawn.com.
The Water Hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The Water Hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rincon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. If you've got a question, it's time for question and answer time. If you've got a question, you can certainly send that over via email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to call us and talk to us, you can do that at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469, toll-free coast-to-coast. We will start with a question we had come in from Francis, who is listening to us on WCRN 830 AM up in the Boston, Massachusetts area. He's got a question about hostas.
Hi, my name is Francis. I'm in Millbury. I live in Millbury, and my problem was with variegated hostas. They were beautiful variegations, and to begin with, now they all turn green, very little white left. What's the problem?
So, Holly, can we help him with that?
Well, we can provide him an answer.
Okay, yeah, let's provide him an answer instead of helping him, since we're not really, I don't know if he wants us to come over and help him, but let's see what we can offer him here.
So the thing with hostas is that they can stay variegated for many, many years, and they are a perennial plant. They come back year after year, but they are prone to a mutation that sometimes when they're variegated, all of a sudden one season they turn green or they turn mostly green, and then they don't come back from that. So if
irreversible,
it's irreversible.
And it's not really anything the grower is doing, is it?
No, you could treat them beautifully and be the best hosta grower around. It's just a mutation that occurs.
Okay.
So it's something you can do. So if you want your variegated hostas back, you'd have to rip those out and plant more.
All right, let's go to some questions we had come in via email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Holly?
Okay, so if I put down weed cloth on one side of my garden patch, do you think it would keep the weeds from spreading that way? I don't mind if they spread, but I want them to go in the other direction.
If you put it down, here's the thing. The grasses, it'll kill the grasses, but the viney crops, let's say Creeping Charlie, for example, something that we deal with, it's going to grow under the plastic and then pop out because it grows with runners underneath the soil. Thistles are similar the same way, that you probably should hit them with natural greens, no more weeds, from natgreen.com in order to reduce and try to control. It's an horticultural grade vinegar. Because those are very, very aggressive weeds, and they see an obstacle, they will find a way around that obstacle.
I have been thinking about expanding my small garden at home to a bigger garden. I'm not sure if I should stay with fabric or invest in some of the birdie steel containers I've started to see on YouTube. I also have to look into fencing for deer, rabbits, and any other pests. Any thoughts or ideas? I live in Superior, Wisconsin. I have moved to Duluth, Minnesota, which is just nearby. I have cold and snowy winters, and I don't want to be replacing boards on raised beds frequently.
Okay, so the birdie steel containers, they look very nice. They can be anywhere from 17 to 32 and even higher inches high. Can be an investment in order to fill a large device like that with raised bed mix, compost, males mix, whatever you're filling that with. The grow bags is not that is really a good investment. Rootmaker.com, they've got white, they've got gray, they've got tan. Coupon code radio21 to save 10% on your purchase at rootmaker.com, and they have 1 to 60 gallon grow bags. They've got pop-up raised beds, so I would not necessarily invest in the steel beds, because there's a lot of soil that you've got to put in one of those compared to a grow bag or a raised bed. The deer and rabbits and groundhogs and all the other critters, investment of a fence is not bad, but also deer defeat is a deer, rabbit, and groundhog repellent spray, naturally made. Coupon code radio to save 10% on the order there. And it works incredibly well. It works through all types of conditions. I would go with grow bags. I wouldn't necessarily invest in the metal birdie raised beds. They're phenomenal. They can be costly, and that's our opinion. All right, Holly. Do you continue to hill potatoes beyond its initial planting? If so, how much? If not, how high should the hills be when you plant them?
So you just want to make sure we don't hill ours once we've planted them. We just leave them as is. And when you do hill them, when you plant them, you just want to make sure that you don't see the seed potatoes showing through the soil.
The tubers that are developing,
yeah,
this
tubers.
Is the purpose of the healing, the throwing the soil on top so they don't get exposed to sunlight.
Right. So you just want to keep them covered by a few inches. That's the key.
Yeah. And then also you can throw yard debris, seed-free, chemical seed-free, grass clippings,
straw,
anything
leaves,
because if the tubers are exposed, the ones that are developing, get exposed to sunlight, they're going to turn green. Green potatoes are recommended not to be eaten because they have a level of toxicity that can agitate or even do some harm to your digestive system. So keep that in mind. So, you know, just keep them covered. You know, there you go. All right. Do you have to wait until the scapes are really curled and long on the top of my on top of your hard neck garlic before cutting them, or can you cut them early?
You just want to wait till they're somewhere curly and you see that little notch that is would become the seeds. So it's like the little notch at the end of the scape. And you can use anything from grilling them. You can pan fry them like in a stir fry with butter till they're tender. You can put them in a salad, cut them up. We did make garlic scape pesto. It was very pungent in garlic flavor. So you might want to, if you do that, you might want to dilute that with some spinach or kale or basil.
Now is the time in most portions of the northern United States where garlic scapes need to be harvested. And garlic scapes only occur on the hardneck variety. Softneck variety, it does not. Softneck variety, you still wait until the lower leaves die off before you harvest the bulb. But the advantage to the hardneck is you get that scape as an additional harvesting item on it about 3 to 4 weeks before the bulbs are ready. And you're cutting that scape off to prevent vertical growth and put on additional root development. So with that being said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? Well, you can do that by a couple of different ways. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you the link to this program. Or you can go to the Season 5 tab at the top of our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. Scroll down, see all past shows there, and catch up there. Tune in next week. Do not miss the program. We will be talking about storing your produce correctly that you're getting from your garden or buying from the farmer's market, give you some techniques and tips along the way there, as well as animals in the garden, how to keep them out or get them out. Our guest will be author and TV host of PBS's Growing a Greener World. Joe Lamp will be with us and will answer your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.